Allergies. Terrible things. Most of us have backup plans. Just in case something goes wrong. We think of contingencies to protect ourselves from the unforeseen, from the unexpected. We have a bit of cash in our homes because the credit card might be lost. We have a flashlight on our nightstand just in case the electricity goes out. And we have some clothes in the back of our closets just in case our diet fails. We have backup plans. We have contingencies because we are human and we don't always know exactly what's going to happen. God, on the other hand, is completely different. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. And when he had a plan for creation, he knew that that plan would be fulfilled, culminating on Good Friday, culminating this weekend. The plan is found here in John 19 in two ways. First, the plan was in the prophetic word of God about the unbeliever. That there were people at the cross that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, did not believe Jesus was Lord, did not believe Jesus was a good teacher. And yet there is the prophetic word of God that was spoken hundreds of years earlier. 1,000 years before the cross, when King David ruled the earth, or the people of God, he wrote in Psalm 22, verse 8, regarding the Messiah, "They will divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Psalm 22:18. If you are familiar with Good Friday, you know that two of the other Gospels, actually, Matthew and Mark, include the words of Jesus in Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me? And you might know that that comes from the same psalm, Psalm 22, verse 1. This messianic psalm. We might also know that Psalm 22, 31, the last verse of Psalm 22, "They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." As the soldiers were divvying up the bounty, the fringe benefit of crucifixions, because dead men don't need no clothes, however distasteful we might think wearing a dead man's clothes might be, they divided up their garments, his garments. And there was one piece, a fifth garment, that they did not have someone to give it to. And so they cast lots because they didn't want to tear it. "They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my clothing." It's a relatively insignificant detail that John records. But if it were so insignificant, why did God mention it 1,000 years earlier? Because God's plans cannot be thwarted. They cannot be circumvented. They cannot be changed. The same is true as we look at the end of our reading. Verse 36. Not one of his bones will be broken. They would not break the bones of the righteous one. Psalm 34, verse 20 says, the Lord protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. John tells us that to hasten death, they would routinely take a sledgehammer to the legs of those being crucified, causing two things. One, an ample amount of blood loss. But secondly, it would cause asphyxiation, that as the weight of the body goes down, and as the arms remain up, it shrinks the capacity that the lungs have. And so you would have to raise up your body on that nailed feet to get air. And what does the scripture say? They broke the legs so that they could not lift themselves up. They could not fill their lungs, and they would suffocate themselves if they didn't bleed out first. But God does not allow this to happen to Jesus, because Psalm 34 verse 20 said that it would not happen. But there is also echoes of the Passover, and I mentioned this last evening. Breaking the bones of the Passover lamb were forbidden. Exodus 12:46, do not break any of the bones. Numbers 9:12, they must not leave any of it till morning or break any of its bones. So as we've sung, as we've read, as we've understood, the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. The one who is spotless, the one who is sinless, the one who is unblemished is Jesus. He is the Passover lamb. He is the one whose blood is spilled so that the angel of death is not going to enter, that death passes over. Verse 37 gives us one last scripture. They will look on the one they have pierced. Zechariah 12:10. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. What's interesting here is Zechariah is speaking, and they will look on me and they will mourn for him. That in the midst of this passage, there is a glimpse of the triune God. They will look upon me and they will mourn for him. the method of Jesus' death, the method of determining whether or not Jesus had died, was foretold 700 years before it took place. John wants his audience to know that the death of Jesus was always plan A for the redemption of sinful humanity. So much of what happened at Golgotha, especially how the Roman guards acted, was written long before the crucifixion ever took place. God had a plan, and God has a plan for us as well. Nestled between this first and these last two prophetic utterances are three statements from Jesus. And unlike the plan in the prophetic word of God for the unbeliever, there is also God's plan in what Jesus said for the believer. Verses 26 and 27, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the one he loved, "Here is your mother." Jesus' mother was alone. Joseph, her husband, is likely deceased. And all her other children are gone. Jesus, in the throes of death, makes sure that his family responsibility, his familial obligation, he was the oldest. He was the one who was to provide for his widowed mother. And he says to John, "Here is your mother," and to Mary, "Here is your son." He makes sure that the responsibility and the relationship remains intact. And it reminds us that Jesus cares deeply for those who cannot care for themselves. Secondly, John 19:28. "Knowing that now all was completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" This is not a desperate plea. This is not, "Oh, wow, I've been here a while, I'm feeling a little dehydrated." But this is a deliberate act. He knows that scripture has to be fulfilled. What scripture? Psalm 69, verse 21. "They gave me vinegar for my thirst." Wine vinegar was the drink of soldiers. It was the drink of peasants. It was not wine vinegar as we would think of today, but a diluted, less tasty wine, a cheap wine. And it reminds us that Jesus had human needs, just as we do. Jesus was not superhuman when he came to earth. He emptied himself of everything, took on the form of a servant, and he got thirsty, he got tired, he was hungry, just like us. He suffered just for us. His death is not some sort of magic show. Well, he was God and it probably didn't hurt all that much. No, he was fully human and it was literally excruciating. John 19:30, Jesus says, after he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. According to verse 28, he knew that everything had been completed. And it was time to return home. Now, there are two ways we can look at "it is finished." It is finished as a cry of desperation and a desolation, resignation. It's over. It's done. We're finished. Whew. Or it can be an announcement of triumph and rejoicing and a declaration of accomplishment. We are done. We've finished. It's complete. And in this moment, Jesus tells us that nothing more needs to be done. Nothing more can be done for our deliverance. Knowing that all was now completed, he said, "It is finished." This plan of God was unbreakable. The clothing remained whole, the bones remained intact, the relationships were unsevered, and the work was finished. Through all Scripture, we have been told that the purposes of God would be accomplished. And Jesus, the Passover Lamb, was sacrificed to enable that plan and our forgiveness to be done. Everything God tells us that he loves us. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus, fully human, fully divine, fulfilled all that was foretold of him. And he forged a pathway for our forgiveness through his faithful obedience. He finished the plan to perfection. God says that through the cross, there is no power that can thwart his purpose or plan. Everything God tells us he loves us. Let's spend one last moment in prayer.